A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Religion Today with Martin Tanner, a weekly look at religion and spirituality here at home and around the world. Now, here's your host, Martin Tanner.
Welcome. This is Religion Today. I'm your host, Martin Tanner. Today, April 5th, Conference Sunday, 2020, is the 200th anniversary, approximately, to the date of Joseph Smith's first vision. I say approximately the date because no one knows exactly when Joseph Smith's first vision occurred, although it's highly likely that it was on Palm Sunday, which was March 26th. Why is that highly likely? Well, because we know from Joseph Smith's history, volume 1, page 14, that his first vision was on a beautiful, clear day. We also know it was early in springtime, not middle or late spring, but early in spring. That likely placed it in late March or early April. But it almost certainly was on March 26th. Why? Because the next two weekends, April 1st and 2nd, and April 8th and 9th, it was cloudy and snowed again. So this was probably the first really clear day that was at the end of the maple syrup production that the Smith family was involved in that would have allowed for him to go pray. When I say Sunday, the Smith family was involved in maple syrup production Monday through Saturday, sun up to sundown. Those were not days that were available for him to go into the woods to pray. It would have been dark. His description would not have met the description that we have now. So, Palm Sunday, March 26th, likely date. The Smith family was incredibly involved. They produced 1,000 pounds of maple sugar and some maple syrup to boot. It was quite an undertaking, and they were exhausted. So at the end of that undertaking, which probably would have been around Palm Sunday in 1820, Joseph Smith went into the woods. And we have the first account of that first vision that he wrote some himself and had some dictated about summer of 1832. We know that he told his account personally many times earlier, but this is the first time, at least that survives us, where he wrote it down. Here are some of the details about what he says. And incidentally, there are 9 firsthand accounts from Joseph Smith's own lips that we have the first vision. And I'm going to try to give some highlights, some details from each of those, so that you might be able to learn some additional details about the first vision that you may not be aware of. To me, these are absolutely fascinating and very compelling. In his 1832 account, he mentions that already by 1832, 4 wonderful things had happened. First, his testimony from on high, reference to the first vision. Second, angels had visited him, meaning Moroni and others. Thirdly, the Aaronic priesthood had been restored by angels. And fourthly, the Melchizedek priesthood had been restored. He also says that beginning about age 12, he became seriously involved in considering religion and about the welfare of his immortal soul. He says that he became intimately acquainted with different denominations. And so from age 12 to 15, it says that he pondered many things. Now notice he says 12 to 15. We don't know exactly what year the first vision happened. If it was in 1820, Palm Sunday, could have been the year after. Unlikely it was earlier than that. Here he thought it was probably when he was 15. He had been considering his soul. He was talking about his sins, and he said that, quote, I became convicted of my sins, and by searching the scriptures, I found that mankind did not come unto the Lord, but that they had apostatized from the true and living faith, close quote. And then he goes on and talks a great deal about some of the things that brought to him the idea that he must pray. And interestingly enough, this was not just, oh, I know, I'm going to pray and find out. He said that he basically exhausted his other resources. He tried to talk to different denominations and found that he couldn't reconcile everything they said, and he couldn't find out a way to believe one over the other. He looked in the Bible and was also from that not able to come to a conclusion about which church was true. So here we have the crux of the two reasons for the first vision, and they are very personal. This was not, I'm going to go into the grove, says Joseph Smith, and start a new religion. It was, I'm concerned about my immortal soul, and I need to know which church is true. And I can't figure out myself if my immortal soul is in danger. And I also cannot figure out for myself which church is true. I must act of God. There's nothing else I can do. No more study, no more prayer, no more due diligence. I have to ask God. I can't do anything else myself. And he says in this account, quote, I was filled with the Spirit of God, a pillar of fire, of light, above the brightness of the sun at noonday, came down from above and rested upon me. I saw the Lord, and he spake unto me, saying, Joseph, my son, thy sins are forgiven thee. Go thy way, walk in my statutes, keep my commandments. Behold, I am the Lord of glory. I was crucified for the world. Close quote. Now, another fascinating thing about the first vision shows that even after seeing the Father and the Son, to find out if his sins were forgiven, and he was told that they were, and to find out which church was true, and he was also told not to join any, that it says, he says in this account, quote, I fell into transgressions, sinned in many things, which brought a wound upon my soul, close quote. He said many times that he didn't do anything significant, but he felt like he had human foibles, as we all do. I find that a very personal statement and a wonderful statement. The second first-person account of Joseph Smith is from his journal in 1835. He wrote down in his journal descriptions, and when I say he wrote down, he dictated them. Most of this is in the handwriting of Warren Parrish. And he says here, while sitting in my house between the hours of 9 and 10 this morning, a man came in and introduced himself as Joshua, the Jewish minister. And he goes on and describes what he looked like. And this person, Joshua, the Jewish minister, was an interesting guy. We don't have time to go into his background. But during the course of his conversation with Joseph Smith, Joseph talks to him about his first vision and says to him, quote, I knew not who was right or wrong, close quote, talking about the different denominations. Then he says, quote, I retired to the silent grove and bowed down before the Lord, realizing that, as it says in the Bible, quote, ask and ye shall receive, knock and it shall be opened, seek and ye shall find. And again, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all liberally. And then he talks about his fruitless attempt to pray because he heard a noise behind him like a person walking towards him, and his tongue seemed swollen in his mouth. He heard walking drawing closer. He sprung up to his feet. He looked around, but he saw no person that was calculated to produce the noise of walking. Finally, he kneeled again. We'll be back right after this.
Religion Today with Martin Tanner continues on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome back. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today. Today, the nine first-person accounts, the first vision, is what we're talking about. Of course, being April 2020, Conference Day, this is the time that we celebrate the 200th anniversary of the first vision. We're in the second account of the first vision. This is from Joseph Smith's Journal of November 9th through 11th of 1835 in the handwriting of Warren Parrish. A man named Joshua, the Jewish minister, had appeared in Joseph Smith's home. He's talking about the first vision. And before the appearance of God and Jesus, he heard a sound of walking while he was praying. And it startled him, and he stood up and he looked around and, quote, "But I saw no person or thing that was calculated to produce the noise of walking. I kneeled again, my mouth was open, and my tongue liberated, and I called on the Lord in mighty prayer. A pillar of fire appeared above my head, and it presently rested down upon me and filled me with joy unspeakable." A personage appeared in the midst of this pillar of flame, which was spread all around, and yet nothing consumed. Now, one other fascinating part about this specific first vision, and incidentally, he does talk about two personages here, but he also says, "I was about 14 years of age, and, quote, I saw many angels in this vision," close quote. Did you know that in addition to God the Father and Jesus Christ, many angels appeared to Joseph Smith in the first vision? That's what his 1835 account describes and says. Next account of Joseph Smith's first vision, 1838. This is the most well-known account we have in our scriptures. I won't take much time with it because it's so readily available and most listening will have heard it. It says that on a beautiful clear day early in spring of 1820, he went to pray in the woods. And he also says here, quote, "It was the first time in my life that I had made such an attempt, for amidst all my anxieties, I had never as yet made the attempt to pray vocally," close quote. He hadn't prayed out loud before. He had obviously prayed to himself. So he found himself alone, describes this darkness, and then feeling like he was going to be destroyed. Quote, "At the very moment when I was ready to sink into despair and abandon myself to destruction, not to an imaginary ruin, but to the power of some actual being from the unseen world." And then he says, right at this time, quote, "I saw a pillar of light exactly over my head above the brightness of the sun, which descended gracefully and gradually until it fell upon me, and I found myself delivered. There were two personages whose brightness and glory defy all description. They were standing above me in the air." This is the wonderful account that we all have. The next account from Joseph Smith is what we call the Wentworth Letter. It also had in its account the Articles of Faith. This was written at the request of Mr. John Wentworth, who was the editor and proprietor of the Chicago Democrat, which was a newspaper. This account was also later published in the Times and Seasons on March 1st of 1842. Volume 3, starting at page 706. And Joseph Smith said that the only thing that he asked of Mr. Wentworth was that he not editorialize his comments, that he published the entire account ungarnished and without misrepresentation. Fascinating. In this account, it goes on and says the things that we read in the other accounts, but he also makes this fascinating comment about the father and the son. He says, quote, "My mind was taken away from the objects with which I was surrounded, and I was enwrapped in a heavenly vision and saw two glorious personages who exactly resembled each other in features and likeness." Isn't that fascinating that he saw the father and the son almost like twins? They look very much alike. All right, next account. This is a fascinating account from Orson Pratt, who, and by the way, this is the earliest published account. This was published in a pamphlet in Scotland in 1840. Orson Pratt, at age 28, one of the 12 apostles, was on his way to a mission in the British Isles in September of 1840. He'd heard one of Joseph Smith's speeches, and this is what Pratt wrote down about what Joseph Smith said. "My education is limited. I could write with a very imperfect hand. I only had the most rudiments of an education in formal ways. In about my 14th or 15th year, I was concerned about my salvation, the salvation of my soul, and I went to different denominations." And then he goes on to say, quote, "The only alternative seemed left was that, as he read the scriptures, he must find some kind of help from God. So he went to a secret place," and here we find a fascinating tidbit about the first vision, that Joseph Smith, for a while, was afraid not just from the evil influence, but that he might be burned up as the light came down from heaven. Quote, "At length he saw a very bright and glorious light in the heavens above. At first seemed to be at a considerable distance. It appeared to gradually increase in brightness and magnitude. By that time it reached the tops of the trees, and the whole wilderness for some distance around was illuminated in a most glorious and brilliant manner. He expected to have seen the trees consumed, and soon as the light came in contact with them. But perceiving that it did not produce that effect, he was encouraged with the hopes of being able to endure its presence," close quote. Stated in modern English, he thought he was going to get burned up, and he was excited and relieved when that didn't happen. Here again, he says, quote, "I saw two glorious personages who exactly resembled each other, their features and likeness." Orson Hyde produced another account, very, very similar to the one I just read. This one was in Frankfurt, Germany. It's in German and also in English. He translated for German publication. There is one fascinating tidbit from this one. It said that when that evil power came upon him, it says that it brought to his mind all manner of inappropriate images to prevent him from obtaining the object of his endeavors. Fascinating. We don't know exactly what that means. Levi Richards was a convert, and he described the first vision, very similar to the ones that we have. We have a David Nye's description of 1843 when he heard Joseph Smith describe it. And here we learn something else, that Joseph Smith went not to some random place, but to where he had been working in the woods. And he kneeled down, quote, "where my father had a clearing, and went to the stump where I had stuck my axe when I quit work and kneeled down and prayed." We don't often think of the first vision as happening right next to where there was an axe in a tree stump. The last account is Alexander Niebuhr from his journal of May 24th, 1844. This was right before Joseph Smith was killed within a month or so. This account says that he saw a personage in the fire and light, complexion, blue eyes, right arm bare. Fascinating. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today, talking about the first vision.